A little bit more about the decision-making at the policy committee around placarding.
Certainly. So the policy committee was actually three committees over the course of 4 years. We had a technical advisory committee of engineers and architects. They did recommend placarding for unreinforced buildings. Then we had a committee, a financial committee, that was developers and people who work in the finance industry. They recommended against placarding or only positive placarding. Then when we came to the policy committee, that was called upon to reconcile those recommendations, they ultimately didn't recommend placarding. I think, as Walt acknowledged, they really struggled to reconcile the other retrofit recommendations, so it wasn't a topic they spent a lot of time on. What they did recommend was tenant notification and that the city pursue that. Actually, it's a state legislative item, which we may still do. I think it's important to remember that policy committee also recommended mandatory URM retrofits for all unreinforced masonry buildings in the city of Portland. So my understanding of when this came forward to council is council did not opt to at this time follow through and require retrofits for all those buildings. But the compromise was, since we weren't requiring that at this time, we would move forward with placarding, so at least people would be informed.
Yeah, you said it more eloquently than I did up front, and I tried to set the table up front. In fact, we have already compromised away the policy committee's rather stringent requirements.
Yes.
Around seismic upgrades. And I know that the fire chief had come in at that point and eloquently spoke in favor of that. Somebody mentioned the mayor of Christchurch. In fact, she visited Portland. She came all the way from New Zealand to Portland to strongly encourage us to push the seismic retrograde mandate. And she was quite eloquent in that, basically saying, yes, people are going to be very angry at you. Yes, they're going to be unhappy. Yes, it will create all kinds of economic hardships. But if the earthquake happens and you haven't done it, you've got a whole different level of grief coming and reckoning coming. And so I'm appreciative of that. I actually wasn't aware that one committee had recommended in favor. My understanding was they had all recommended against. But that was against what their broader recommendation was, which was enforce the seismic upgrades and do so quickly.
Exactly.
Thank you. One other question, and this is a general issue. It's not just specific to this issue. We hear a lot, and maybe this is more of a comment than a question. We heard a lot of people who I trust, say they never heard about this process until fairly recently when it heated up in the news media. I believe our standard policy is to notify building owners. Is that correct? And are we thinking citywide, enterprise-wide, about maybe changing the way we notify for these things? Because let's be honest, if you're a tenant and a building owner gets 150 notices and it all looks sort of the same, there's a lot of opportunity for you not to get it. Or maybe I heard from one of my pastor friends who said they had a front office volunteer who checked the mail, and they had sort of a standing agreement that if it was junk mail, throw it away. And it's possible that it got round filed with some of that. Is there some way we can improve our notification process just so we don't have people feeling like we're excluding them from an important process? Has anybody given that any thought yet?
Yeah, sure. I can take that, Mayor.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely. We heard loud and clear. I went back. I wasn't here at the hearing, the original hearing in June, but I did go back and listen to the testimony and, you know, even just talked this afternoon with a couple of the pastors and with our equity manager. We really do want to do better. We very much heard them loud and clear that regardless of how we think we notified them, they didn't get notice. So we realize that there's a gap there. I don't know yet, because I'm coming in new to this particular project, how we're going to do it, but I know we need to do it better than we have been.
Yeah, I'd appreciate any recommendations. I mean, maybe it's even certified mail, and then we follow up with people where we haven't received the receipt or you know, I'm no technological genius. Maybe there's better notification platforms out there, but I'd be really interested in that, because we increasingly and routinely hear that people say, I never heard about this process, even though it's been going on for a long time, and I have no reason to doubt people's veracity on that point.
I might just add, I think we will continue to, we will feel obliged to continue to use mailed notifications, but I also think that Commissioner Fritz's amendment that talks about preparing some educational materials that would be inclusive and that would be accompanied with the signs and making those available through our community centers, through churches, through other places that we'll be placarding, I think will give us an opportunity to reach people even if they don't read their junk mail.
Okay, and I had a question for my colleagues. Commissioner Fritz's amendment is a good one. I don't particularly see it as controversial. Is there any objection if we take the vote on the amendment before we move the package to second reading? Are we okay with that?
I would like a chance to deliberate a little bit more on the whole item, but I'm fine.
Oh, yeah, with the amendment. Very good. So just before, and just so people understand that this is a non-emergency ordinance, so we don't vote on the overall ordinance today. It moves to a second reading for a vote, but this is sort of the, you're here for the meat of the presentation. Commissioner Udaly, did you have other questions?
I don't. I have other questions. I do have some comments I want to make before we adjourn.
Correct.
So if you want to vote now.
Why don't you go ahead and do that.
Okay.
And then Commissioner Fritz, and I'm going to stand over there just for a moment.
We could make our comments at the vote on the amendment, perhaps, if that works for you.
Would you like to prefer that?
Sure.
Okay.
You're going to leave the room for my comments?
No,
I've
just been sitting.
I know. It's been a long day, folks.
Very good. All right, so why don't we do this? Why don't we call the roll on the amendment, and then if people have further comments, that's a good time to do that. So to Commissioner Fritz's amendment, please call the roll.
Udaly?
Okay, this feels like a weird time to me to make these comments because they're not very pertinent to the amendment, but I do want to say a few things. First of all, thank you all for coming here, and thank you for your testimony. You've given me a lot to think about, a lot more to think about something I've been thinking about for 21 months now. I'm not sure if I should thank you. No, I'm kidding. I am left with a few questions. One, who should be financially responsible for proving whether or not a building is on that list? I do not feel comfortable, based on the testimony I've heard today, that we would create a significant financial burden to a property owner who may not belong on that list. Two, if there are in fact other buildings that are just as likely to come down in an earthquake, that are just as dangerous to the occupants, whether they would fill our roadways or not, should we be including them in this placarding policy? Is this really an adequate approach that we're taking? And I'm certainly not averse to notices about liquefaction zones. I have to be honest. I think I would be more likely to avoid a liquefaction zone than a URM building. So be careful what you wish for, because I don't know if that would be great news for people that are own buildings in that zone. Three, who are the stakeholders? Someone said that we need to bring the stakeholders back to the table. And we have been put in this really challenging position, I think because of the way this whole conversation began, of pitting public safety against private profit. And I have to say to the building owners, the stakeholders include your tenants, your employees, your customers, your parishioners. Thank you for the thumbs up, because it's something that's very important to me, that everyone has the information they need to make informed decisions about their safety and their choices. So thank you. I am concerned by the issue that Ms. Arend brought up about financing for seismic upgrades, and then hearing that our standards may change, and then not moving forward with them, and then learning we were going to be placarding, and she may be placard before she has a chance to improve her building. So I just want to put that out there as a concern. Yes, this was our compromise. We could not reach a kind of amicable conclusion about the larger issue of, you know, standards of upgrades. So we decided on placarding, which seemed very reasonable. But this is kind of one of those unintended consequences I think we're always hearing about. I do want to say that taking matters of public safety back to a stakeholder group, in my mind, creates a new definition of death by committee. I mean, I love the Portland process. I oversee the Office of Community and Civic Life. We're charged with civic engagement and outreach, but we were also elected, I think all of us, by 100, 200,000 people who have invested some confidence or trust in us to make decisions, basic decisions about the best interests of our city. And so I don't think a years-long process about a vital public safety issue is reasonable. Not saying we don't need your input. I'm just really nervous about kicking this down the road another few years. And I think everything else I have to say I can wait for next week. I just want to commiserate with everyone in the room. This is a really tough challenge, and I appreciate your input, and I really want us to do right by everyone. But I think it's going to hurt a little no matter what we do. Thank you. I vote aye.
Fritz. Thank you, Commissioner, for all of your comments there, which I associate myself with. Thank you, Jana Papathimiou. You've been working on this for at least the 10 years since I've been in City Hall, and perhaps longer.
She deserves a hug.
Well, you know, this is something that literally has been on the table since the first day I got into office, and probably long before that, because I didn't really become aware of it before that. So with Sam Adams, with Charlie Hales, now with Ted Wheeler, three mayors who have really grappled with this, and it's my feeling we have to do something. And the something was at the last hearing was, let's just require these retrofits. And what I heard, my biggest takeaway, in addition to the building owners and your concerns, thank you to everybody who came today. In addition to that, I heard so many tenants, both residential tenants and commercial property owners, saying, we can't afford to live anywhere else. We like the place that we are. We want to stay here. And that's fine for those who choose to do that, just like I chose to go to my concert. I believe that people should have that knowledge and that choice. I have said over and over again that we would only ask private property owners and nonprofits to do what the city is willing to do ourselves. And the point was made, we do have a significant liability in the city. I was for 5 years in charge of Portland Parks and Recreation, and we have several community centres, which is going to cut. We're currently looking $500,000 just to do an assessment of three of the parks building to find out how much it's going to cost to fix them. And like the churches and other nonprofits, the city doesn't have the option of state aid, tax breaks, other such things. And so it is something that the wider community is going to grapple with, because when we're talking about how is the city going to do it, we mean how are the taxpayers of Portland going to do it, because the taxpayers are who are going to be funding those community centres. I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman and Mayor Wheeler putting it so that the city goes first in this requirement. And we can look at the data in the community centres from January and February to see, is there a massive drop-off after we put these placards on there? If there is, I, for one, would be willing to take another look at this. I just, knowing that I've been in the university club over on 6th on several occasions and seen the placard and thought, like the Keller, well, that's just hope the big one doesn't hit. Now, I mean, I think that anyway all the time here in Portland. So I think it would be helpful for people to have that choice. And what my amendment does, and what I'm about to vote on, is saying the city has heard you. We are going to take responsibility for creating those materials in an easy-to-read, decent font, large type, with different languages translating, with Braille, a way for people to know what really does this mean. I mean, the warning in itself is just like, oh, it may be unsafe. Well, it may not be. Off we go. I think the other thing we have to do is, what do I do then?
in entering any kind of building in Portland, because for the most part, you're not going to maybe even notice even a placard that's this big. And so I think it's just common sense to help educate all of the people in Portland about this challenge that which we all share. And we all need to share in the financing, not only for the city buildings, but also for the nonprofits and for the private property owners. It is a joint responsibility. I hope that in the next budget we'll be financing an update to the historic resources inventory so we can decide which of these unreinforced masonry buildings really do deserve to be historic buildings that then get tax breaks and other public assistance. Because it really is about how are we all keeping us all safe, regardless of who owns the building. I do know that insurance companies are in the business of risk assessment. That is what they do. So I just find it unbelievable that an insurance company would rely on the city posting or not posting a sign in order to decide whether or not or what kind of premium to charge for earthquake insurance. That's just, you know, I got extra insurance on my house to add the earthquake rider. And I filled out the form, and I'm sure had I been a masonry house, they would have asked more questions. But I don't think that they would have relied on coming over to my house to see if there was a placard on the door. I think, to me, this really is about public engagement, public awareness. And then once we get everybody realizing that this is all of our challenge, then we will get more support for everybody saying, yes, I can pay a little bit more on my taxes, I can pay this, I can help figure out a solution so that everybody stays safe. As time goes by, we know we are due for major and minor earthquakes, and it's time to do something about it. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for your comments today and your testimony. As I said at the outset, we have this information on unreinforced masonry buildings. I believe the list has a lot of integrity to it, and it's not completely black and white. But I believe we have done our homework, and this is a robust, accurate list by and large. And what do? With information we have? Well, we get asked all the time to release information we have, whether it's the media or a private citizen. We have an obligation to be transparent with Portlanders and release this information. The best way to release it is by one of these placards in front of the information. And I believe this, you know, respect Portlanders' intelligence. That give them the information, let them weigh the risks. They're quite capable of doing that, and I believe they will do it. And they also need to be aware of their surroundings. To think about, if you live in an unreinforced masonry building or you work in one, as Mr. Klotz said, you know, think about what your exit plan is or whether to exit. Think about where you're going to duck and cover. This is information, fundamental life safety information. And another committee to deal with this. Many of you testified saying give it to the committee, and you also testified that the previous committee, many of you, I remember back in May and June, were testifying about all the flaws of the committee structure back then and how erroneous they were in their findings and the recommendations of mandatory seismic retrofits or doing things in 15 years rather than 25 years. So you can't pick and choose. And I'm picking, as Commissioner Daly said, that this council can ultimately make the best decision to respect the safety of Portlanders. I appreciate your participation, appreciate the role of the committee, appreciate the role of the new committee, but this should not be part of that new committee. This should be a decision made at the highest level of city government, and that's the five of us up here. And I vote aye for Commissioner Fritz's amendment.
Wheeler.
Before I forget, I'm going to support Commissioner Fritz's amendment, and I want to thank you for the amendment. I think it makes perfect sense, and I'm appreciative of the effort that you're undertaking. We've had a long afternoon, but I want to thank everybody for their testimony today and for those of you who have met with me on many occasions. I want to thank you. For those of you who have vociferously disagreed with me, I want to thank you too. Every meeting I've had on this, every conversation I've had, every call, I feel like people have treated this issue with the seriousness that it deserves. I think people have been incredibly respectful, and as per always, I come away from this, whether you agree with me or disagree with me on this issue, I come away feeling very good about the fact that I have a city where people actually engage on these important issues and share their thoughts and do so directly and respectfully. So thank you for that. I want to particularly thank Amit and Nancy and Jana and the PBEM, Portland Bureau of Emergency Management team, for lots and lots and lots of work on this that predates my tenure by at least 50%. So thank you for that. I want to thank Chief Myers for your continued focus on the life safety issues and reminding us that we have a duty to keep those issues front and center. I want to thank Elizabeth Perez from my office, who probably wishes I'd assigned her just about anything else, but you have done a fabulous job, and I appreciate that, and to the rest of my team as well. Is that placard there approximately the right size?
This is exactly the right size.
It is exactly the right size.
This is what we're talking about. The hard work is actually the work that we still have to do, because the hard work is the work that we are. In fact, I vote aye on the amendment. Thank you. The amendment is adopted. The hard work that we have to do is actually the work that we have put off to the committee work. And we've got a lot of work to do with our pastors in the community, with our nonprofit leaders, with the small building owners, with the state. We've put down a marker that we understand the economic hardship that this would pose for those who rent low-income housing, for those who provide makerspace, for those who provide space to our iconic mom-and-pop businesses, bakeries, restaurants, cafes, art studios. So the hard work is really the work that we have to do ahead. And I hope whether you agree on this part of the process or disagree profoundly on this part of the process, that we all acknowledge that we've got a lot of work yet to do together. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. I just have a question. There's this massive size of sign that's right in front of us. Could you pick that up and show it to folks, please, and so that the camera can see it as well? Because this has been sitting staring at me all the hearing. So obviously it's the same. Yeah,
it's got the same,
and it's got our safe, the same warning, but in the safe harbor. Just
it's got the safe harbor languages, so it's in Chinese, Vietnamese, Russian, and Spanish, as well as English.
And what's the planned purpose of that kind of a sign?
Well,
can you speak into the microphone?
Go back to the
please.
Mic again. Thank you.
The proposed ordinance only requires posting in English, but we anticipate that some public buildings, particularly probably parks, community centers, may choose to post in additional languages. So we prepared a sample of what a sign would look like if it included all the languages, and then we also have small size. So, for instance, if you're in Chinatown and you just wanted a Chinese language sign in addition to English, we'll post these all on our website in PDF, so if people are making their own signs, they can have a sample and they can easily print it.
Or they presumably could get one from you.
Or they can get one from me. Yes.
Great. I appreciate that effort. We had to have some discussion in the Office of Equity and Human Rights about whether there needs to be a Braille version. I'm not sure that somebody would necessarily be looking for a Braille version on the outside of the building. So that, again, was part of my thinking of having a brochure that then is available in Braille translation would be the way to do that. But thank you very much for thinking about that. Thanks for bringing the example.
Certainly.
Great. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, there being no further discussion, this is the first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended. We are adjourned. Thank you.